What's up, Connor? I haven't seen
How
you in
are
so
you?
Long.
How was your
you?
Trip?
My trip was good. I just got back from Savannah, Georgia, and Charleston, South Carolina, and Los Angeles, and they were all really fun. L.A. was so warm. It really brought life back into my soul.
Was Charleston not?
Randomly, it was not. It was like we went down there. I was like, oh, when I booked it, I was like, oh, end of February, it's going to be great. Like, Southeast, it's going to be awesome. And it was like such a cold front. It was terrible.
That's crazy because I was in North Carolina for 4 years, and I feel like in February, it would be like so pretty outside.
I know, right?
You'd wear like a little sweater and then take it off.
This year's been weird for weather anyway, though. It's been cold everywhere, so I don't know.
So wake up. It's yeah, not going well.
It's not going well at all. To quote A.D. Bryant at the Independent Spirit Awards, it's been a wonderful year for film and a bad year for human life. But yeah, it was good. I had a great time. Thank you for everybody that came out to the shows. Really fun. It was kind of weird to do Savannah's where I grew up, so I was like kind of nervous about the hometown show.
Of course.
But it was great. Everybody had a good time. So
that's true. It's hard to go back to your hometown.
It's just like I was like, oh, is this about to be like a like recital for all of my parents' friends? And it like kind of was, but not really. It was good.
That would be so weird for me because I'd be like, my dad. All my jokes are about my dad.
Well, I have some jokes about my parents, which I think the crowd appreciated because they know them. So, yeah. But yeah, it was funny. My cousins came, and my cousin's fiance, she was like, oh my God, why is my gynecologist here? And I was like, oh, that's my mom's friend.
That's so funny.
But yeah, it was great. And
they
then,
live in Savannah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But overall, yeah, it was really good. And
Savannah,
actually,
the place where they filmed that movie with Miley Cyrus, which was called The Last Song.
Yes, and The Menu, which I just watched over the weekend.
That was in Savannah.
Filmed in Savannah.
Oh, wait, beautiful.
I know.
I saw that movie with this guy that I actually think probably was the right guy, and I messed it up.
Whoa, the one that got away?
Well, I don't know. It is hard. Like, I mean, I think he was so sweet to me and so lovely in so many ways and played football in college, which I thought was
tall
hot.
Guy?
Not tall guy. Oh. Like, he was tall, but it wasn't like a defining feature of
yeah.
him.
He that wasn't guy was the really tall guy. Tall. Yeah.
That guy, the guy that was 6'8".
Yeah. Wow.
He lives up the street, doesn't care if I live or die. Totally fine.
Well, you know, when it's warm out, you can strut by his house.
I caught you off for a sad story. What were you saying?
Did I have a sad story?
You don't know. I had a sad story.
Oh,
you have,
no, no,
not
no.
Not sad.
Well, actually, I'm going to get into my boys club because it has to do with my trip. Okay, so a boys club I was in a lot during this trip is people who eat by themselves at restaurants, because that was something I was in a position to have to do a lot. I was by myself a lot, and so I was eating meals by myself. And
do people look at you weird?
So, you know, it's interesting because I feel like in New York, people eat by themselves all the time.
Yeah.
It's kind of like whatever. And so I've made the mistake in the past of like asking for a table for one, which is kind of a really, it always is so humiliating to ask for a table for one. But also I'm like so bored sitting there by myself, but I made the better decision to eat at the bar and then I could talk to the bartender and that was much better because then I wasn't so lonely.
Were the bartenders nice?
They were. I will say something that's different about LA. When you're in New York, a bartender could be doing any number of other things with their lives. When you're in LA, every bartender is also an actor.
That used to be true of everyone on Survivor.
That they used to be actors?
They used to have all bartenders who are also models and actors, but now they only cast super fans, and it's like, I do think we should have more people that are like surprised to be there. You want
sure,
people that are
sure,
like, how
sure.
did I get here?
Sure, yeah.
I just want to be an actor.
Yeah.
It's way more interesting.
It is just kind of like it's, I don't know, not to be so like, New York to LA, who gives a fuck, but it just like, I don't know. It makes, I like certain parts of LA, but I do think the fact that it is such an industry town would not be good for my soul.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it's like, oh God, everywhere you turn, it's like people are doing this. I don't know.
It's hard to be a real hoe, you know? Like, I mean, like, not a real hoe. I mean, like, a real hoe. Like
yeah.
Like a real
beesh. Person.
I feel like we're real beeches.
Yeah. Well, it's like if you go to a coffee shop in New York, it's like you're being served by just a non-binary person trying to live, you know? Not a non-binary person trying to make a career as an actor, you know?
Someone is like, no, we don't have aspartame. We only have stevia. Ew, I don't like stevia.
But yeah, so I was in this boys club of having the confidence to eat alone. And there was something sort of, one night I went to this restaurant and I dressed up a little bit and went by myself. And I was like, I feel like such a mystery man, you know, just getting a, and the guy was like, do you want to take the rest to go? And I was like, no, I got a flight to catch in the morning. And he was like, oh, and so I just felt so like mysterious.
It really is like not just for the job you want, dress for kind of like the book you want people to write about you.
Yeah.
Like that funeral coat right there. When I wear that, I feel like so mysterious and interesting.
Well, right now you're pointing it to sort of a lump of coats, so it's kind of hard for me to decipher which.
Don't look at this. Look around. The black one.
Oh, I got, right here with the buttons.
If this were, if we were going to a funeral, I would wear that black coat.
No. Well, don't you think? Nobody die, or I guess do, because Connor's ready.
I have a coat ready. I have a coat picked out for the funeral.
Well, that's my boys club for this week. Do you have one as well?
Well, mine is, I didn't realize, and every year this is true. We haven't talked about the weather in a long time.
I know.
Every year when it gets nice for one day, I realize that I forgot. I had seasonal effects. Disorder without realizing it.
100%.
Because your capacity for joy, it's like a jar that just unleashes. No, you're like, totally. Oh, I forgot I have my capacity for joy.
100%. Yeah, I think it's like, it catches me by surprise every year. Every year I'm like, February, I'm like, huh, why am I so dark and sad right now? And then the second it's nice out, I'm like, oh, it was just the weather.
How have we been living like this?
And it's like, I've said this before, but it feels so simple on the human brain to be like, sad outside, sad inside. Like, what? Like, we're not more sophisticated than that?
And then
I guess
it gets
not.
Nice out, and it's like the most romantic thing ever.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not kidding, because it was 75 in Los Angeles when I was there, and I was just walking outside just to like take in the sunshine.
Did people seem happy?
You know, I think they seem pretty regular, but it definitely, it's like people are in shorts, they're walking outside. It's just so nice.
My view, here's me in LA. I just think it'll be like, it'll be like really beautiful, and I'll be happy. I'm so happy. I'll be so happy. And then I'll go and I'll be kind of, it's a big house, a big glass
house.
Sure,
yeah.
And we can see the neighbors, and then I'll go to my husband.
And they can see you.
They can see me. And my husband, he's cooking, and I'll be like, okay, like I'm going to go outside and tan if you want to come. And I'll be like, okay, and he won't come, and I'll be like, great, I'm so happy. And then I'll walk outside, and then Lana Del Rey will play. That's my view of LA.
So you're not actually happy in that story?
I feel like no. I feel like it's where it'll just be kind of like listening to Lana Del Rey, like looking at beautiful things.
Well, the thing about New York, though, is that we do get the benefit of getting to enjoy the nice weather when it comes, because we felt the despair.
Yeah.
Of the cold times.
But we're not like Chicago, where we're going to like drop our pants every time it's nice outside because it's so rare. Like those people are wild beasts. Because they don't get to see.
You hear that, Chicago?
They only have 4 months where you can go outside.
I know. And they really take advantage. Yeah.
And like, I think that combined with like their capacity to have just sort of like cis gay white guys everywhere.
Sure, yeah.
It's just a scary combo.
Well, you know, that's.
But you're a good person to talk about this because you have a connection to Chicago. We'll get there.
Well, should we just get right into our episode?
Anyway.
Yeah, boys. Our guest this week is a hilarious comedian and a good friend of the pod. We love him so much, and we're so grateful he's here. You can catch him all around New York City. Boys, please welcome to your ears, Micah Eames.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Absolutely. I guess to start, are you feeling the seasonal affective? Is that something that you are resonating with?
Yes, I definitely am. And my dad actually is visiting from Chicago right now. So I saw him last night for dinner, and he was like, I cannot do Chicago one more year. I can't do it.
It does
seasonal
get worse.
Affective disorder. It's crazy.
You think you'll become accustomed to it, but it actually just breaks you down more.
Yeah.
Because also the other thing there, and I'm like, not to harp on the weather, but spring, I played a spring sport in Chicago, which means I played lacrosse, and we got like 2 outdoor games a year. Really,
yeah, as a child.
Yeah.
I thought you meant as a grown adult. I was so perplexed by a grown adult lacrosse.
No, children play sports.
That makes sense.
Sports are for
children. Yeah.
That's cool.
It's not even like, it's not even fun to play sports when it's that cold out. Like I've had people being like, oh, do you want to do like a winter league? And I'm like, God, no, I'm not going outside if I don't have to anymore.
I want
to
join a run
club.
That's
for kids in the spring.
But I feel like when I keep telling people that, they're like, what do you really want? Like, what are you really looking for?
Yeah. Community dates, something like that. So did you grow up in Chicago?
Yeah. Suburbs of.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So yeah. Cause like I was born in Syracuse, New York, and lived there for very little time. My mom actually said when I was like 2 or 3, when I was pretty little, it was like snowing in April in upstate New York, and I like turned to her and was like, is it ever gonna stop snowing? And she was like, I'm so sorry, I can't control it.
That's so funny.
But it does feel like I was under the impression, like, you know, I'm gonna get used to this, I'm gonna get better at it, and it kicks my ass every year.
You don't. Mm-hmm. You know that, like with war, it doesn't get better by battle. It's like kind of gotta get out of there.
Yeah, I guess it gets worse by battle.
It does get worse.
Yeah,
it's worse. Wait, so where are you from, Willamette?
Did you ask if I'm from Wilmette?
I just picked a random one.
That's so funny. Deerfield. So it's
where
in
the school is. No, not where the school is.
Yeah, Deerfield High School. There are schools in Deerfield.
As most, you know, towns.
I feel like Chicago suburbs is a cool place to be from. One time when I was living there, I would drive around to the suburbs with this guy that had a car that I really liked. And he was really lovely. And
you liked the guy or you liked the car?
the guy. I don't remember the car. I'm not a car guy.
Sure.
It was
sure.
just, okay. it got us where we needed to go. And I was like, is my dream to move to Evanston and live here and get married? And then it ultimately wasn't.
And that's so valid. I do love Evanston. But when you were talking about that guy you were seeing who was 6'8", I was like, Jesus, that's just too much.
Yeah.
It felt weird. I felt like Curious George is like looking up at him. It was very...
Because
like,
that's almost a full foot taller than you.
It is 10 inches tall, which is amazing.
Yeah.
You're right.
We accept all heights on this podcast.
We're obsessed with all heights.
6'8" is pretty up there.
6'8" is too tall. Like, you're going to die young. Like, that's too tall. That's too
big. I used to try to do a joke about women having an issue for heights when they're dating, and it's like, oh, like, they don't want to date short guys or whatever. They, like, want to, and it's like, why would you not want to date a guy that's your size? Like, you know, don't get in the octagon with somebody who definitely can beat you up, which is a dark joke. But I also wanted to do something about, like, I feel like it's smart to date a hot, or like, smart to date a tall guy who's really wealthy, because, like, he's definitely dying first and he's going to leave you a lot of money.
A bunch of
anyway,
cash.
Anyway, sorry for
these. And
are,
he was
these
really
are the jokes
wealthy.
That don't make the stage because they're too dark and too bad.
Well, he worked in artificial intelligence. He, like, was an AI person.
Wow.
Like, he owned an AI company.
Tall people in AI, shout out. Shout out to our heights in AI.
Some people have it all.
Yeah, literally. Some people have money and height. That's great.
And he did this thing. Like, he had a TV that looked like a picture frame. Amazing. And then he invented himself this thing that would tell him when the train was going to come. And I was, like, so
enchanted. Wait, they make that?
Well, he invented one. And I was just so enchanted by a man that solved a problem. You solve problems. I was so enchanted by it. Like, to solve a problem, I do think it's just enchanting. I don't know.
Well, I mean, yes, but is Google Maps?
Yeah.
I know.
There's so many apps now that tell us when the train's coming. It was his, like, down.
He doesn't have an app. He has a fixture on the wall.
Oh.
Wait, I'm going to rekindle and then invite you over so you can see it. I want you to see it. It was cool.
Just for long enough for me to come over. Yeah. Wait, so it was something.
Like, okay, bye.
It was something on his wall that was, like, at his house.
Yeah.
So he could know, oh, it's time to go.
Yeah.
Was it just for the trains that, like, he usually takes, or he's got, like, the
just
entire
board? Just
the
ones board? He took. It was genius. And I don't know if he has access to the whole board. I don't know what he has access to. Not me. But, like, he has. He's an interesting man.
We'll never know what he has access to. Yeah. Okay, wait. And then the other one we were talking about at the beginning. Do you ever eat at restaurants alone? How do you feel about having to ask for a table for one?
Oh, so I do the same thing of eating at the bar.
Yeah.
You know, I like the... Because the bartender always has something nice to say.
Yeah.
Or I can leave them the fuck alone.
Totally.
So...
It's kind of nice because it's like you have... You're facing in a direction that doesn't feel like you're totally alone because you're facing a person or whatever. And to that point, like, usually they're really good chats because that's kind of part of their job. But then also, yeah, if they don't want to talk to you, then you're like, all right, I'll just eat by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I get so nervous about asking for a table for one. I feel like such a dork. But maybe that's all in my head.
No, you're a man of mystery.
True. I guess I'm a man of mystery.
You're important.
Yeah.
I think it is giving, like, really rich, creative, here on business, and which you were. You were there on business.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is also funny to say in LA when you're like, I'm here for work, and then everybody's kind of like, well, what do you do? And it's like, oh, I don't want to have to open this can of worms.
It got you into that Equinox, though.
I hate telling people that I'm a stand-up because they always ask so many questions.
Should I start telling people I'm a stand-up? I say I'm a writer.
Well, that's mysterious. That's man of mystery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then they'll be like, would you write anything I would know? And
I'm
I'll be like,
I'm going to start telling people that I'm a paralegal because nobody has a fucking question about that.
Totally. Work in supply chain.
Job.
Work in marketing. Like, any of those things. No one, if you work in marketing, no one's going to ask any questions.
No.
But it's believable.
They're definitely not going to ask of a paralegal any questions.
They won't. Yeah, that's fair.
That's for certain.
Wait, so what we have to understand is I want to understand what is a boys club that you are not a part of.
That was the longest on-rip yet.
People say you should say things like it's the first time.
I went back and forth on these. I almost said just Lexus cars in general because that was the car I took on the way here. And I'm like, I will never be able to wrap my head around how this door handle works.
Wait.
No matter how many times I get into these cars. Yeah. Why? Why did they
is
have
that the
to
one
do
that? You push in like a seesaw.
Uh-huh. Was it such a problem to just have to pull a handle? Why did they?
It's also
know.
Like you're a Lexus, relax. You know what I mean? Like, is that a good one?
I feel like that's not a good one. I don't like the Tesla doors either.
Well, that's where my brain went. Are they not the same?
Wait, shit. Is it? Am I thinking of Tesla?
Yes. I think Lexus is an everyman's car. And Tesla is
Lexus is like a nice car. but it's like a luxury brand, I would say.
I love that we're doming people of Lexus. We've never had a car in our lives.
Yeah, none of us own cars, and we're all yeah. Well, the Teslas are definitely the ones that have like the they're flat against the thing.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, those are fucked up.
What did I say? Subaru.
But Lexus. There is something cool that we have access to those types of cars, like that New York. You can be anybody, and for like 12 minutes, and for $18, you're like a guy in a Tesla.
Yeah,
yeah,
I do love that.
Except, I hope that they all crash and burn. Not that with people inside them, just the Teslas themselves.
Oh my God, have you seen those? What do they call them?
The Cybertrucks.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. There's always, I live on like just like an alley street, and there's two always parked there. And like, what are you doing in Bushwick?
Every time I see one, I'm like, are we being taken over by like a small militia? Like, what's going on? Like, it just looks jarring. So like army tank, and I just don't get them. I don't get them.
My thing with wealth is that I'm going to be quiet luxury. Like, you're not going to know. I'm going to be kind of just,
he's
like,
going to be in a Lexus
on the
DL. Everman's car.
Like, I'm not going to drive a war tank down the street. I think that's too much.
I just like don't trust, obviously, Elon Musk at all, but I'm just like, what happens when he decides to like take those over, you know?
Well, I'm
like remotely tap in, because they can they do like all the Teslas, like they like do software updates on them. Like, that's one of the things that's like supposed to be great about it, is that they can update the car all the time. So like, they do software updates. And I guess there was like a one time for like a Christmas present, they like played a lights show on them or something. So they can do like, I know. I'm like, I don't like that they can just like tap in at any
Disney Channel original movie, Smart House 2000.
But
yes,
you don't remember
but
that.
Elon Musk's car. Prison. Yeah. Prison.
Wait, so like what? My phone has never been updated. Do you understand? Do you understand? Like, I've never updated anything. Like,
not enough storage for that.
No, I know. I literally deleted my work groups at WhatsApp chat because I needed storage. And now it's like, I don't, everyone's well over there. Sorry. But like, you know, they're not paying my phone bill, and my dad is. So like, I just can't.
Yeah. I think it's either Apple or Google that gets $11 a month for me for storage. I don't remember. I think I needed it for 30 seconds, and I was like, I can't get rid of it now. What if I need it again or still?
You're subscribing to things? They'll get you.
They just linger. They just
and it's also
forever.
Like, why do I have to pay for the storage? Like, why?
There's a lot of things I'm subscribing to right now, and I'm seeing the charges come in, and I'm not happy about it.
Well, that's the thing that's also annoying about like all these conversations. I don't know, conversations about the way that
about this conversation.
That's the thing that's I'm annoyed about this conversation with us. No, I'm just kidding. The thing that's annoying about any sort of conversations about like wealth and the way that like, you know, the ultra rich are getting older, and then like folks our age and younger, it's like we're gonna be this sort of struggling class for a long time, and it's like also nobody. I feel like people aren't taking into account how many fucking subscriptions we have to have these days. Just to be able to be a functioning person in the world, like,
yeah, Pornhub.com.
I mean, yeah. How are you going to get your stress out in the modern world?
FAP house, FAP house,
not FAP house. That's ridiculous.
I don't know why I picked it, but I've never left. I'm still on.
Wow. So yeah,
it's $13.99 a month or something like that, which in a year is a ton of money.
Yeah, it's $150 or something. Yeah.
Well, do you want me to do the simple math?
No.
Because I could.
Okay, wait, so let's get back to cars. So did you ever have a dream car or anything? Has it ever been something that's on your radar at all?
Oh, absolutely not. I grew up driving a bad, like a worn down minivan. You know, I did.
Yeah.
My dream like car was one that moved, and that ideally I wasn't paying for the gas for.
Totally.
You know, somebody, one of my siblings refilled the tank before I did.
Yeah.
Three siblings?
Older brother, younger sister.
Cool.
Nice.
Wait. Oh, you're a middle child.
Yes.
I'm also a middle child.
Oh, Connor.
I got my license the day before my 18th birthday, and it was like, thank God. Because it was like, that's time. It was time. Yeah. Is that rude to say? Sorry if I'm shaming anyone.
No, it's fine. I got mine when I turned 17. I think because I had ADHD and should not be driving in the first place. So.
No, for sure. Well, yeah. I think my anxiety makes me a good driver, because I'm just like, so like, I see threat everywhere.
I can see you going really slow.
I do. The speed limit, it's a limit. That's the top
end.
Limit.
That's no,
the
that's
top
it.
Half.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. I'm not shaming you.
It'll be like, I'm not, because you remember that Jimmy Neutron episode where his shoes go too fast and he can't stop running?
Yeah.
So if you start tailing me, that's kind of what a situation we're going to be in. We just keep going faster. Like, where do we stop? Where does it end?
No. I honestly, if somebody's tailing me, I like to just go the speed limit and be like, I'm actually gonna be in charge of all of us.
We're gonna be five under. Yeah, it's a limit.
You can tail me if you want, big truck.
And then people are like, you're supposed to be in the slow lane. Well, where is that written? Where is that written? There's not like a rule. I don't know. No. I'm not doing that.
Okay. So I got my license. That's funny for both of you because I got my license like the second I could get one. I was like, as soon as I turned 16.
That's when you could get your real.
You can get your learner's permit at 15 in Georgia and your full license at 16.
Did your parents make you do the hours?
I probably got it because I drove to school most days once I was 15 with my mom in the car.
My dad was obsessed with doing.
Yeah, because you had to get a certain number of hours on your learner's permit.
100.
And my parents were like, I think they were. My mom, because I'm the oldest of four, and so I think she was really excited to have somebody else, like to let me drive myself to my activities and like not have to have her like take me everywhere, just because that would ease a lot of her burden.
Mm.
So I think my parents were like very into like getting me the time I needed to like get, and then I could take the kids to school and stuff. Like that was going to be a big help.
That's
so
nice.
But I was also the youngest in my class, so I was the last person to get my license. So I was like really excited to get it too. That's
what enabled my alcoholism, is that I was never driving anywhere.
Oh sure, yeah.
So I'd always be just in the back of cars, getting kind of driven around, like passed out.
Never DD.
Which is crazy because now it's like I would be the DD, but I don't want to drive anyone because I'm an anxious driver. But like if there's someone in the back, I just see myself ending. Like I say, it's so nervous.
Yeah. Because
like wherever I go, there I'll go. I'm fine. I'm okay to die. But I can't. I'm not okay to die. I'm not okay to drive my brother off a cliff.
No,
I'm not
totally.
Gonna do that. So it's hard.
One of my random party tricks is that I can recite the alphabet backwards. And the reason for that is because I got pulled over and had to do a sobriety test once. I wasn't drinking, but everyone else in the car was. And you could smell it coming out of the car.
Yeah.
I reached back to get my license at
That's
one point.
Scary.
And I reached into my bag. And they had put the bottle of tequila in my bag.
No.
So I just kind of drop it. I'm like, I don't have any identification to offer you. So I think she just gave me like four sobriety tests and the gift of pity and let me go.
Well, a test is doing the alphabet backwards.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then
like, I couldn't do that right now.
You had to do letters like in her. She was like, recite the alphabet from like G to X. Or something like you had to stop at a random letter.
That would be hard for me even sober, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it
yeah.
is.
It's like kind of, I'm like, even right now, I'm like, don't put me on the spot. Like, so, mm-hmm. Have you guys seen that video of a woman pulling over a really drunk guy who does like she's like making him dance and stuff like that. Like he's doing the sobriety test and he's like, has like a cowboy boat and he's like, hey, yo, like he's being, anyway, I'll put it in the
show. I saw Reese Witherspoon get pulled over.
What?
Online.
Oh. Come on.
Well, she was
so
all
ready.
Upset. And
that
then
was
they tried to cancel her second. She's like, I'm uncancelable. She said sorry and it was over.
But
love
listen,
her.
When you have a book club, you're uncancelable.
Women's stories matter. They just matter.
They just matter.
We love on this podcast. Reese, if you're listening, we think
listen,
Hello Sunshine.
Add us to the book club. We don't have a book, but add us to the book club.
There's Where the Crawdads Sing.
I love that.
Hey.
It's a great book. I also just like, I don't know. That's another reason I love living in New York is because we don't have to drive. I just like think it's such a, I think about that all the time with just like being an adult and like going out and like, it's like so freeing to be like, oh yeah, if I go out, I can decide at any point in the night if I want to have a drink or smoke or whatever. It's like, I can make that decision on the fly. I never have to think about like beyond being sober enough to get my ass home. Like I don't have to worry about driving or any, or like where's my car or any of that. It's so freeing.
Yeah, and parking. I remember when Justin Timberlake, it was in the news because he got a DUI, and I called my mom because I saw an article and it was like, yeah, like they found all these substances in his system, including PrEP. And I was just like, why would they report that?
Yeah.
And it turns out it was a clickhole article. So I just want to be really clear about that.
Yeah.
But
that was really funny over at Clickhole. Whoever wrote that, well, you did a good job. Gay guy, you did a good job.
Yeah.
I just liked that they were listing like cocaine, alcohol, PrEP. It's like, that's not illegal, but
it feels like a HIPAA violation or something. Yeah.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Yeah. What was your first car?
Okay, so I only, when I went to Chicago, I had a car for a year, and my dad, I moved to Chicago when I was right after college. My dad he drove me there in a red Honda CRV.
I had a red car too.
I loved a red car. And I would have, it was really gross by the end of the year because I would have Tootsie Pops every day on the way home from school and then just throw them in the center console.
Oh, good.
Gross. And then...
It's still sticky to this day.
Yeah, they sold Radio, it probably not for
radioactive
much.
Intervention was not enough to unstick it.
It's pretty icky. It's crazy. You're just driving now. You see a grown man, whatever. And so...
You think he's smoking car, in his car, right. But he's...
Just a Tootsie.
Your car, your choice.
True.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the year, I was like, I don't like this car anymore. I'm over this. And then my dad... flew back to Chicago and then drove the car back to Philadelphia. So both times he like picked it up, dropped it off, etc.
He loves you.
Red Honda CR-V. And then he got rid of it. I don't know what they did with it.
And then you had a minivan. Do you remember what type of minivan it was?
The Honda Chrysler. Oh, wait, nope. Those are two different brands.
Honda.
I feel like I stole your title of being bad at cars.
I'm bad at cars too.
Yeah, Honda.
So Accord.
No, it's the minivan. Wins. Odyssey?
Yes, I had that.
Odyssey.
I don't like those doors open too slow. I've got places to be. Let's go. I want. We need the old doors.
That would just slam them shut.
Fucking go. Yeah. Oh. Elizabeth Smart doors.
Get your head in there and slam it shut.
How do they kidnap people these days? It's way too slow.
Literally, I know.
It literally is giving just like.
Yeah, nobody's talking about how hard it is for modern kidnappers in the day of the automatic door. It's really hard.
This
to
is
get
a writer's room. Wait, we have to write that.
That's funny.
Just like get in there.
That's funny as fuck.
Oh my god, we've done something.
We've done something. Well done. My first car was my parents bought. It was like the family car. It was a Volvo because they were like, okay, we're finding the most indestructible fucking tank of a car we can find. And it had
mad
like,
respect.
And it had like the best safety rating or whatever. And so then my siblings got it after I did. And then my grandmother drives it now to and from the store. And then my car I had in college briefly was a, it was a red Toyota or something, like a little car, like a little sedan.
Did you buy it?
No, my parents leased it for like a year and then they sold it.
I love the idea of a leasing a car.
Yeah, and then they sold it. That thing was such a, it didn't have like a good working stereo system, but it had like this old like stereo system that like you could kind of connect to via Bluetooth, but it was like so janky and fucked up. But it had like this like blue like alarm clock lettering on it that would be like, that would tell you like the title of the playlist or the song or something. But it would like, it would break all the time. And so I was dating this girl in my senior year of college, and there was a playlist I named that had her name in it, like kind of like as a, I don't know, joke slash cutesy thing to do with a girlfriend. And then we broke up and I was devastated by it. And then my fucking sound system like froze and died on that playlist being played. So it said her name on my fucking sound system for the rest of the year.
That's really gross.
I was so close to just like smashing it. I was like, I should just fucking break this thing. I gotta get rid of this car.
That's sweet that you had a playlist. Can you tell us like one song that was on it? Not as a challenge, as a
Floors
treat.
Floors by Abby the Nomad.
One I'll know.
I thought there was a Frank Ocean song on there. Think About You, I bet Think About You was on there.
Even If It Breaks Your Heart by Eli Young Band.
I'll put it on there now. Retroactively. I don't think I have the playlist anymore.
I did have a country streak. Dirt Road Anthem.
Love.
You know Dirt Road Anthem. Great song.
Yeah, but anyway, so that was my issue with the car. That was tough. That was pretty tough.
That's nice that you had a safe car. I'm not into this Jeep Wrangler culture. If you drive a Jeep Wrangler, I've got questions. I think that a Jeep Wrangler is always a wacky girl driving a car eating a yogurt at the same time. Always the hottest girl in
with
the
her play. Toes out and no doors. I'm always amazed at the people that are feeling that safe on the road to be going doorless and topless.
Yeah, I feel. I totally. Her name was, I'm not gonna say her name, but she was the hottest girl in the play, and she would drive like that. And I was always worried that my mom was gonna yell at her. I was like, please don't yell at this girl
for driving a.
Because my mom would do things like that. My mom would like, if you like drive bad. I kind of forgot that, what it's like to be like with your mom in a space where it's like you're a sophomore but there's seniors here, and your mom like totally might yell at someone because she's like litigious. Who got her license, by the way, at 30? She got her license at 30. She was in court before she had license.
Wow.
Yeah.
She had kids before she got a license.
She said a husband that would drive her everywhere. So yeah. You have me at 30.
He's got the time.
Me and her license in the same year.
Wow. What do you think is more important to her?
I don't know. You're right. You're right.
Kidding.
I love that crazy girl. She's on a plane today.
Good for her.
I know, I'm nervous about it too. I was like, don't tell me when you land. Tell me when you're down.
Yeah, yeah. I was on a plane yesterday and I watched this movie. Speaking of having feeling nervous about your mom as a kid, I watched this movie Dee Dee. Have either of you seen or heard about this one?
No, I've heard.
It's really good. It was about it's basically a summer coming of age story about this like kid who's like between eighth grade and freshman year, and he's Taiwanese American, I think, and he's just kind of dealing with the feeling like you're, you know, becoming less of a kid and growing up, but also like trying to navigate like what that means because he has a crush on this girl, and then his friends are kind of like, you know, sort of being flaky on him, and then he meets these older guys, and the older guys come over to his house, and he's always so, like, you know, he's always upset at his mom for, like, embarrassing him and stuff. And so then he, like, yells at his mom in front of these older guys, and they're all like, dude, don't talk to your mom like that. And so then he loses that. It's so viscerally devastating in the way that it is to be that age and, like, be constantly making mistakes and feeling like, oh, I don't know how to do anything or how to talk to anybody, and I think I'm doing it right, and then I'm not. Anyway, but it made me think about that because it's a lot of it is about his relationship to his mom and, like, feeling, like, embarrassed by her, but also like trying to like just navigate being, you know, 14.
I was really rude to her after our Littlefield show.
I'm sorry.
Do you remember how rude I was?
No, I wasn't there for it.
I was really rude to her, and I'm sorry. I think about it all the time, and I bring it up a lot.
Yeah. Well, if you're listening, Mrs. Grady.
Sorry.
We're
good for you. Good for you.
Come on, I know.
Good for you. She didn't change her name, which she was a kind of ahead of the curve with that one because I feel like people.
Well, you know what's actually, I just saw something the other day on TikTok about like, you know, obviously there's a lot going on with like, you know, anti-trans legislation and stuff like that. But it was somebody, it was because they're doing weird shit with like name change documents and like voter registration and stuff. And so like there was a woman who changed her name and was like, you're fucking over me and all these other women that like have changed their names legally. Mm-hmm. Did you see that or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because my mom and my sister changed their last names, so, and then I'm trans, so yeah. It's just my dad and brother.
Yeah,
they're carrying the team. Yeah. Luckily, they're Democrats. Yeah. So.
Yeah, we got to get the men in our life to be the cis straight men in our life to be Democrats, best we can. But yeah, I was thinking that I was like, so, because that was something I ran into when I was having an issue with, like, I had like the temporary ID for a while, and like bouncers were not really like obliging by that, and I was like, women get their name changed for their marriage all the time. Yeah. Like, how is this such a,
it's an
like,
entire plot on Friends.
How is this a wrinkle in time?
30 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. Lisa Kudrow, she changes her name to something like Princess
Consuela Banana Hammock.
And then Mike Crapbag, right? Isn't that what he... And Paul Rudd says, well, if you're going to be that, then I'm changing mine to Mike Crapback or something
funny.
Like that.
Yeah. He plays such a good late role in that show.
Yeah, he was really hot in that show.
He is really hot.
That's what I want.
He's always hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he is hot. No, never apologize to me. I cut you off.
Should we
What would you say is a boys club you are currently a part of? Who are a part of?
Lesbian pop music fan cult fan following. Wow. Fan culture. I've seen Muna like 4 or 5 times. I saw Chapel Roan twice. It was Renee Rapp. Like, I didn't get to go to All Things Gay, but I was there in spirit.
Well, I mean, honestly, probably for the best, because didn't it pour that weekend? I think it was like really rainy. Yeah. Well, okay. So did you see Chapel before she like kind of blew up?
I saw her. Yes. Oh, you might have been. I think you were also at what was it? Brooklyn Steel. She did 2 nights there in 2023.
I didn't get to go, but Jesse did. I asked because Jesse was there.
Yes,
and Freddie
Jesse
was there. I think too. No, because I was literally just having this conversation with her because I was like, one of my biggest regrets is not going to that concert with you guys, because Jesse was like, yeah, we were so close to the stage and it was so intimate and like really right on the precipice of her like becoming a national. Like, I mean, now it's one of those jokes where people are like, you know, buy tickets before you can't afford them anymore, and it's like, oh, I really did miss that window with Chapel, like, because that was probably the last time there were affordable tickets to see her.
Yeah.
You know, before she's gonna be, I mean, deservedly so, I think she's incredible. But also on the topic of Muna, didn't you bring the horse?
Yes.
Do you want to tell the listeners this one?
Yeah, I if you're a fan of Muna, so they have this inflatable horse that they bring to all of their shows, and when they played at the Greek, they had people come out dressed as inflatable horses, including members of Boy Genius, I think. But fact check me on that one. So I brought it though I brought Stacy the horse to a show at Irving Plaza in, I think, October of 2022, because they have a song that opens with, "You're gonna say that I'm on a high horse. I think that my horse is regular sized." So I just brought an inflatable horse and taped a sign on it that said regular size.
That's funny. And, anything you want. Is that the song? No, it is
anything
hard.
But me.
You're correct. You're correct. I'm conflating two songs.
Similar words, the vibes there. Mm. But yeah. So I brought that, and then they just kept. I got a message from the photographer, who's just like another trans guy who lives in Brooklyn, and
he was sick.
Like, "Hey, they love the horse. They want to know if they can keep it."
Oh fuck yeah!
So they kept it for the next night, and then they just brought it on tour. For the rest of history, and now it's 2025 and Stacey's still alive and well. People have made merch. I came to a show I think then like May the next year, and I opened my phone on Instagram and I had received a picture of myself from a random Instagram account saying, "Oh my god, you're Stacey's dad." Because I had walked up with the horse.
Yeah.
We need to make you a song instead of Stacey's mom, Stacey's dad. Stacey's dad brings me to the show.
I think you've got something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, it's inflatable?
Yes, it's an inflatable horse.
How is it still inflated?
That's the magic of Muna.
You can deflate it. So I actually, the way I smuggled it in was I blew it up at a bar with some friends before going in just to make sure like it worked. And then I had to deflate it because you can't bring everything into concerts. So I smuggled it like between my jean jacket and a hoodie, like just because I had to get past security. How do you get a horse past security, guys?
Trojan horse, quite literally.
Literally.
Yeah.
Inflatable Trojan horse. Yeah. Wow.
I'm in this boys club. My top five last year, I want to say, was like Taylor Swift, Irrelevant, and then like to this conversation, unless she's gay, I don't really care.
Gaylers,
yeah. And then I want to say it was like Phoebe, Muna, Julian, and Miley Cyrus.
Okay, I had to check in on you.
I know, that was last year. This year I felt bad because this year I like got Gracie in there, and I was like, how have I swapped high art for low? What's going on? That's no good. But Muna was still on.
Yeah. I think I had last year I think I had Boy Genius in mind, but I had Time Moon in this year. I definitely had Chapel and I had Remy Wolf. Yeah. I'm big into that all the folks you listed. That's like my favorite, and I'm so glad that like lesbian pop anthems are having their like big moment right now, because all of these are some, like, this year for pop was like I think one of the best years we've ever had. I don't know. Like, especially like the women in pop right now are just like fucking crushing it.
When Renee Rapp says, "I'll finally let go" in Colorado, I think that's like my favorite song in music. That one, I love that. I don't know if she's good or bad, but I love that.
She seems great.
She's good, right?
I actually was a transgender barista living in Brooklyn at some point. Yeah, I'm just trying to get by.
Yeah, just trying to live a life.
Yeah. And some people came in who were gay and we befriended each other and they were visiting from LA. So I just gave them like some recommendations like, oh, you know, it's, like go to Brooklyn Museum. Like, here's some stuff. Here's some free donuts. So they leave and they... We end up exchanging Instagrams, and then I see we have one mutual, and it's Renee Rapp. And I just had to DM and be like, "Do you know Renee Rapp?" And they were like, "Oh yeah, good friend of mine. Actually, a wonderful, amazing person." And like, actually see this person posted to Renee Rapp's, and it's not like they're faking it. It's like, oh, that, you know. So she seems very down to earth and cool.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Muna song?
Oh come on, don't do that to me. Depending on my mood.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No. It is the Stay Away, the version they did at the Tiny Desk concert for NPR.
Sure.
Oh
yeah. Sure. I don't know if I like that version. I like an acoustic version. Is that the one that I like? Is that the one?
It's they've got acoustic strings in it.
Mm,
yeah. I mean,
there's another acoustic one that was making the SoulCycle rounds.
I feel like it would be hard to play a Tiny Desk portion at SoulCycle, maybe.
While they do a sad song every time. Do you know what I mean?
It could be.
They do a sad song.
To bring you down before they bring you up.
Exactly.
Into the glory of SoulCycle.
They do a sad song where the instructor gets off the bike and is like, you know, my uncle's dead. Like, every class. Every class. I swear to God.
And you know, people said I looked like him, but we never even met. This one's for you, Greg.
There's one instructor that every class, he's like, this is my 91 days of sobriety. This is my 92. And it's like, I'm frustrated. I'm nervous. We're going to have to call your mom if we stop saying this. We're going to, like, what if you relapse? Like, that's just stressful. I'm sober. And I just am stressed out by that.
Yeah.
Stop trauma jumping in class. I have so much trauma and I've never brought it up at Solid Core. Sorry.
Flex.
Flex.
I bring it up here.
Yeah, save it for your podcast. Not
get a podcast. Anyone can do this.
True. Anybody with enough money to buy some mics. Wait, I had on the topic of on Renee Rapp. Maybe this says more about me than whatever. But I feel like something that I really always appreciated about her is that when she came out, she was like, "I am a lesbian," and I feel like there's a lot, especially with famous people, there's a lot of pressure, they feel this like pressure to like not dive full in or like really out loud live about their queerness, or they feel like they can, you know, sort of, I don't know, let it be more fluid, and that's totally fine. Anybody can identify however they want, but I just feel like it's really cool when you see somebody that is that famous who is like that steadfastly being like, "Yeah, this is me," and that's you know, and to use, mm-hmm. I feel like lesbian especially gets such a There's such a dirtiness ascribed to that word at times, and I know I felt like that when I was identifying as lesbian, and that was like such a hard word. I mean, obviously, like that, and you know, maybe there's more going on there with the transness of it all, but I don't know. It was always felt like a really hard word to say, so I just really appreciate when there's people that have that platform that are like, "No, that's who I am." I mean, it was the same thing with Gabby Windy on Traitors, when she was like, "No, they were like, how'd The Bachelor go?" And she's like, "Well, I'm a lesbian now." And I was like, "Fuck yeah." Like, it's not like, "Oh, I have a girlfriend now," or "I'm into girls." Like, there was no sugarcoating it, you know? And I just really appreciate that. So shout out Renee Rapp. Yeah.
Shout out Renee. Shout out Gabby.
Are you watching Traitors?
Okay. Yes, as much as I can. I'm really excited to watch it tomorrow. Because I've missed a few episodes, but I watch it as much as possible when I can watch it with people who know the lore of all of the other reality characters. Yeah. Cause that's what's fun for me, is when they can give me the full background on who like a straight Robert is. And, yeah. It's like, "Oh, he was on Survivor, and like, this is why people trust him, because he seems like a piece of shit to me."
Yeah.
But apparently I'm supposed to respect him. So
no, I
miss Bob the drag
that.
Queen. I wish they didn't kill off as many gay people as they did.
I know.
I missed last week's episode. I'm just hoping Gabby's still there.
She is. She is. Yes, thank God.
She keeps popping up on my TikTok feed now.
Me too.
People are taking like just quotes, like things I guess she posts on her own to the internet, and then making them like inspirational quote style videos.
Yeah.
I think she has a solo podcast.
I love the one where she says,
called Long Winded.
Don't schedule a 3 o'clock meeting. I'm coming out of a nap. Like, or whatever that is.
I feel it's weird. I watched her on The Bachelorette.
Gabby, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on.
Years ago, I followed her whole journey. I watched The Bachelorette. I think it's canceled now. I'm not sure. But I did, to go from there to this. Yeah. I wonder what those girls all think of it. Like her, they were all pals. I hope they support her. I bet they do.
I'm sure they
girls
do.
Girls are supportive.
It feels like Bachelor Nation is good. Wait. No, not good, but I feel like they ride for each other, don't you think?
I think the people on it, yes. I think the people that watch it, you're scary.
No, not the viewers scary. At home. I'm not talking about them. I'm not talking about Middle America. No, I'm just kidding. You know who they had back? So they had, on the last episode, they had Parvati from last season and Kate from last season.
From the boat. Do you remember Kate from the boat, Below Deck? Did you watch Below Deck?
No.
Oh, you can skip it.
Okay. But they came back to do like one activity.
Yeah, the word, it's appearance fee, I keep reading everywhere. I'm like, really? We're very aware of now what an appearance fee is.
Because they must have been paying them for that. But but they were like kind of talking shit about Tom Sandoval, which was like really funny, because they kept doing like, which he is, the fact that he's still there, I mean, it's a real testament to how much the Traitors are winning, because like the only people left, they're like,
how are they winning? They're so,
I know.
How?
I know.
That episode where Danielle like didn't give, she kept giving the shield to not herself.
I know.
In the mini game.
Danielle, and did you watch the most recent episode?
Was it Chriselle?
No.
Oh, I didn't finish. I fell asleep.
You didn't watch the most recent episode?
But I know what happened, of course. I went on the internet.
Okay. I won't spoil it for you since you haven't seen it yet, but.
It's okay.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
It was gutting.
Carolyn left. They.
She just left?
Well, not us.
Oh.
You're right for saying that, because I shouldn't. Because maybe she would have, you know. Yeah. No, she got voted out. She got voted out. Because she and Danielle went at each other, and Carolyn just, like, didn't really have a very good, I don't know. She just kind of, like, didn't really, whatever, and people were, and Danielle was able to spin it that way. But then afterwards, Danielle acted the biggest freak out ever. She was like in the corner being like, "Oh my god, oh, I can't believe that just happened. Oh, she was coming for me." And it was like, girl, they're gonna get you next. Nobody reacts like that. It's a game.
Yeah, she's a lot.
Oh, you guys gotta watch her reaction. It's so psychotic.
She was on Big Brother in the year 2002.
Speaking of, Britney's still hanging in there.
I know. I don't care about Britney.
Well, here's the thing.
I used to.
Not to spoil even more, but Britney and Danielle are really close, and so Danielle, as the cliffhanger for the last episode, is that she's offering Britney to come in as another traitor. So there could be another traitor in the booth with her. Oh But it's kind of a stupid.
I love that he's in the booth.
In the turret. Well, apparently that's the game rules, is like they have to add another traitor. I don't know.
Oh, there aren't rules. That's,
well, Alan Cumming comes in and goes, per the game rules, you have to add another traitor.
Per producer.
But you're right, there is not.
A producer named Sheila just told me we have to add someone.
Well, you know what else is funny on that topic? Okay, so the challenge that they did was they had the traitors answer questions about the remaining faithfuls, or about the remaining players. Mm. And then it was like this big chessboard, and then they all had to stand on their name. Their names were like on the chessboard. And so then they would be like, okay, who, one of the questions was like, which player is going under the radar the most? And so then the traitors would answer it. And so then during the game, the faithfuls had to pick who they thought the traitors chose for that answer. And Dylan was like, wow, this is actually a really good challenge because we can actually glean something from this. And it's like, yeah, the rest of the challenges haven't made a damn lick of sense.
Yeah, no, for real.
Yeah. The one where they had to build statues. Oh, the riddles. None of it. No. Who is this for? What? There was one where they had to like go through a funhouse.
Yeah.
And like in half the shots, it was pouring rain, and in half it was dry.
It's also like
the continuity.
That, like, the last one made sense because it's like very much, yeah, okay, like we should be like, it's answering questions and it's talking to each other and figuring out like, okay, which of us is lying or which maybe already knows like what the answer should be because the traitors are with them. That makes a lot of sense. When they're just like dropping dead bugs on them, I'm like, what does this have to do with any of it?
Awful.
Awful.
I think I'd be good at that though.
Yeah.
I honestly think randomly, like, I would be able to eat weird stuff. I'd be able to, like, put my hand in a weird thing. Because, you know, it's like when you go to a haunted house and you're like, I know you can't cut me with your chainsaw.
Sure.
I happen to know. It's like CBS, MB Peacock. I know you can't give me a real problem.
Yeah, fair.
So you just have to hold on.
You just have to hold on. And, yeah, I'm interested to see how much longer Dolores lasts. I mean.
Dolores.
Housewife.
Oh. Has Britney Spears' ex-husband said a single word?
Well, he just got kicked off.
Okay,
he
said one thing.
And
so
he actually
had
a really nice, like, speech when he left. Because he got killed by the traitors, so they, like, have him in, like, the you know, straight to
the
camera
confessional. Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you know, I just as I was figuring it out. So, but, you know, I had fun, I made friends, and, yeah, it was a great time.
I need to wake up. I'm missing all of this. I feel like I've stopped. I feel like I've fallen
off. Maybe
you
didn't watch the last one.
I did. I missed it.
Well,
I don't know. I love
tomorrow
Gabby.
Tomorrow we're in for hopefully a good episode. Yeah.
I loved Chrishell. I love Gabby. I think this game incentivizes us ending up with boring people every time. And if Gabby weren't there, I wouldn't watch it anymore.
It does sort of incentivize, like, if the traitors are winning, the best player, the strongest players get out early, which is a kind of a weird part of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that they should be incentivized. I don't know. There needs to be something different. Someone needs to fix this. But we're still watching, so maybe it's fine. I don't know. And you know our strategy if we go on is that I put a little heat on you, you put a little heat on me.
We both get kicked out.
No. And then because you don't want people to think you're too, you want people to think you're a little sus, but not sus enough
not
to pull,
too sus.
To throw a hammer at you. Like a little sus.
It does seem like a difficult game to play.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be so anxious. And I'd be, even if I were faithful, I'd be like, I'm not a traitor. Did that seem traitory?
Yeah.
I'm not.
I know. And then poor Carolyn was just like, she was like crying and she's like, this has been my whole life. Nobody trusts me or understands me. And I was like, but you are a traitor. Like, you are deceiving everyone.
That was like Bob, because Bob was like, you just never met anyone like me. And like,
which is like fair, but it's like, yeah, you are being actively deceitful in this game. Anyway.
I know the only person who was right was Sierra when she was like, you're misreading. And Nikki. Nikki did the same thing. Nikki and Sierra that were like, you just don't understand like my background.
But it is funny to me that they keep pulling that card. But for her, she was just like, I was raised by a single mom. And it was like, yeah. Okay.
It's also like, what is this, a pilot pitch? I'm in.
Yeah. I know. It's like, what is our American obsession with pain and struggle for all these reality shows?
Yeah. What is it? They don't do that on Great British Bake Off, but what's anything on Food Network? I'm just like, why is trauma coming into this?
Right? It's like, let's just see who makes the best cake.
What's funny on Traitors is that there's no background on anyone unless they throw it at you.
True.
So see, if like, because Carolyn's a freaking addict, and I don't mean from alcohol. I mean from, I think, real stuff. I could be wrong, but like, I'm pretty sure, like on Survivor, that was more of a part of like the editing. They would do more like background stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, if you don't bring it in, like people will see what they get. Like that's kind of it.
Well, she almost brought Dylan to tears because Dylan was between her and Danielle as like his like two options, and she was like, you know my story. And he was like, I know, and if you're not a traitor, I'm going to feel really bad. And then she obviously was, but it was
I'm
just
over Dylan.
I'm done with Dylan.
Yeah, he's been really, he's stuck around for the longest time, though. I think he might be in it for the long haul.
he's being rewarded for kind of just being like a loser and like no longer being sticking to his guns. I mean, he was right actually to vote Carolyn out. So I don't know. You're right. That's it. Always comes back to like, well, you're right. You are right.
Yeah. Is Dylan Zac Efron's brother?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He's just like a J. Crew catalog cutout.
Yeah.
You know? I'm just like, the way he suckered up to Boston Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, anything that touches Boston Rob, I don't like.
I hear that too, because I also, it was, Maddie put this well. She was like, God, Boston Rob gave Dylan one compliment and then he was in for the rest of time. It's just like such a proof of how fickle masculinity really is and how easy it is for like straight guys to win that between each other. Carolyn even said, she was like, if I was Boston Rob saying this to you, what would you do? And he was like, yeah, I would listen. And I was like, yeah, well, I mean, at least he can like recognize that like he has some misogyny at play. But like, of course, Carolyn, fully a traitor. Like,
if so I was Boston,
so was Boston Rob. Yeah. If I was Boston Rob.
She's such a character.
She really is. But yeah, no, it is like that type of dude who is so ready to like just get any male validation from like a cis straight guy, but like ignore everybody else in a way. And I don't mean, Dylan, I'm not coming directly for you, but that type of guy really just, yeah.
I'm going to walk around and be like, if you guys need male validation in here, babe, I'm giving it to you. I got it. You got it right now.
You're just walking up to every guy going, male validation.
Validate you.
Yes.
Maybe I do have power. I do feel like sometimes, never mind. I don't want to talk about my, you're doing amazing. I'm so sorry. I was going to be like at work, I feel like I have power to really validate these people or not.
Yeah.
And I usually do.
And you're wielding it well.
I do. Yeah. I'd be like, yeah.
I was actually just with my friend Taylor who took your class and she was talking about how much she loved it.
Who is that? Oh my God. Of course. To cut the part where I said, who is that? But like, what do you
Taylor
feel
for
like,
listening, we love you.
Taylor. What do you feel like is a boys club that you would consider yourself, you want to see in the world?
I want to see a boys club that's people with iPhones who are allies to people with Androids.
You have an Android.
I used to. So I got an Android phone in 2018. I was like moving to New York. I was very much like forging my own path. I'm getting a Pixel, you know, it has the best camera. I'm paying
Android?
For it myself. Yes. Yeah.
Anything that's not an iPhone is an Android.
And,
shut up. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a smartphone.
Mm-hmm. You should tell everyone that.
That's what all the green bubbles are. It's just anything that isn't
an
iPhone.
If you posted literally just you saying that, it would go viral. Because I think people would be like, oh my God. That's so crazy.
The more you know. Yeah.
But yeah, so I got that Android in 2018. My family hated it. Got a lot of shit for it. I transitioned in 2019. People struggled with that for a bit. By 2020, they were all on board, but I was still getting texts like, so when are you going back to the iPhone? When are you going back to the iPhone? We hate this.
This we can live with, but the phone, not so much. Yeah.
I cannot believe that Android isn't a company. I'm stunned by that.
You thought... Connor.
Wow. The more you learn, the more you know.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Just,
he's in shock right now.
Well, I don't know what to say.
Okay, if you're on the user interface on the Android side and mm-hmm. you're in a group chat, can you see it like a normal group chat? Or does it come in like one, like individual messages?
I mean, it's still the worst. I'm so sorry. Speaking of someone who used to have one, but it's not, I don't know, because things like software updates all the time. It doesn't look like an iPhone group chat. But it doesn't have the text break up into chunks.
Yeah.
Like when an Android comes through and the bubbles are green sometimes. Yeah. In a big group chat.
It is pretty. I will say, no, there's no shade out there to our Android users. But as an iPhone user, when you are in a group chat, it is tough. It is tough. The mm-hmm. one-on-one texting is totally fine. But the group chat is tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, there's something about the green that makes me be like, fuck, is my phone broken right now? Like, it's like a jump scare.
It's... The thing is, I ultimately did switch back to having an iPhone. Like, I have an iPhone. I'm an ally to the Android community. I just don't want to be an ally. Like, I don't want to make them feel bad about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, group chats are better if you have an iPhone. Like,
wait,
everybody's
so like, what
on
the was the
page.
Appeal of the Google Pixel?
Really good camera. I took all of my friends' dating app photos for like 3 years. They're still using them.
Was it
too.
Why can't the iPhone do the same camera?
I don't know.
Because they're too busy working on group chat and emojis.
And that's it.
And stealing our data. And
well, what I'll say to you is I think we're supposed to be stopping monopolies. And I think maybe actually Android people, I think we should celebrate that they're like doing what they can to stop this monopoly.
Yeah, so stop the monopoly of Apple by supporting the monopoly of Google.
That's right.
With the Google
Pixel.
Oh,
shit. we start a company and call it Android. And there'd already be a group of people that were like, I thought that was it all along.
Yeah, there you go. I just posted a joke the other day that had like one little reference to kind of dunking on androids a little bit, but just like it was such a throwaway. I didn't even really, it's not even the main bit of the joke. And a couple people were like, whatever, I'm not an iPhone sheep. Like, I was getting a lot of that, and a lot of guys being like, oh, androids are actually better. And it's like, probably.
I bet they are.
But it really comes down to the convenience of the iPhone for me, and the aesthetic of the blue message is really what it is.
Yeah. I think that if there were more iPhone people say nice things about androids, that Android people wouldn't be so weird about it. You know, we could all just be one big kumbaya.
Yeah. I know. The shaming is really real on the from the iPhone community.
If you have an Android, I want you to come over and take my picture. So, I'm in.
I bought like a $150 Pixel phone on Amazon after that, because I was like, it genuinely, I'm like, this is my digital camera.
Yeah.
You know? And Spotify,
that good?
Go. It's really good.
My camera's bad because it's dirty.
Yeah.
It's just like, what's happened here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's happened here?
Well, I'm trying to think of other, yeah, what other, I guess Samsung, they make androids.
Yeah.
Something like
LGBTQIA,
something like that. I know, we make LGBTQIA Android.
our people.
That can be our community, yeah.
I think my first phone ever was an Android.
Probably.
Well, my first phone ever was a Razer.
Well, I guess a flip phone does not count as an Android.
Okay, hot.
It was a Razer that we...
What color?
No, I was closeted.
That was the hot bitch phone, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have a Razer?
No, I was not a hot bitch.
I wasn't either. I never got the Razer, but my friends had one, and it was very big. I had a regular flip phone, just like a regular gray ass flip phone for a little while, and
like a Nokia,
something like that. But I remember when my friends started getting iPhones, and I still had like a flip phone. Then whenever I got messages from that were like, it would just come as a one off message, but it would be like group chat, so like it would just come with no context. And like no reference to where, who, it would just be like, Anna said this, Madison said this. And I was like, wait, what? What is happening? And I didn't know until like the next day at school, they were like, oh yeah, that's a group chat. And I was like, oh, what? Anyway, you know.
I had the Envy. Do you know the Envy? They had an orange and a green one. God mm-hmm. forbid they do a nice color.
A color you can easily find in your bag. How about
orange
that?
And green.
Did you ever lose it?
Never.
That's a fucking St. Patrick's Day phone.
And it was a slide phone. It would slide open. Yes. Like it. Do you
yeah.
remember this?
You could just sit and do this all day.
Uh huh. Yes. I got really good at the
you had it?
Typing. I mm-hmm. eventually had a slide phone at some point that had like the slide out keyboard.
Yeah, they had a whole little keyboard.
Mine was pink, purple.
Oh my god,
blue.
We were
no, mine
living.
Was blue, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Back when people had some more diversity in their phones. Yeah, we all now have the same iPhone. And now, or we used to have like, nobody had the same two phone at school.
Oh my god. I missed that when I was at school with different phones. Those are the days.
That was another mm-hmm. okay. Not to bring up that movie that nobody else saw but me, but it was set in 2008, and so it was really cool. So like they were doing like
DIDI.
They were doing a lot of stuff in like on like Facebook and YouTube and MySpace and like those early interfaces, and then all the phones in it were like flip phones, and I was like, God, that was a better time. Mm-hmm. Just like a better. I don't know. I just miss. The simplicity of
just
that.
Feel cool.
Yeah.
That's why Greta Gerwig says Lady Bird was set when it was, because she's just like, I just didn't really want to do phones. No phones.
I know.
That's the whole reason.
I'm generally, unless it's like plot driven, I'm really averse to phones in, I don't know, sometimes it feels like it's done seamlessly, but other times it does feel a bit distracting.
No, totally. Mm-hmm. We wrote something that involves a Grindr.
Well, I mean, that has to do with the phone.
But it is really plot. You need it. And it is really well done. No one's ever, whatever.
You don't have to defend it to me.
defending it to them?
Yeah.
To them.
To the YouTubers.
Do you remember in The Parent Trap? This is for my non-binary listeners. Not mine. Everyone's. Our non-binary listeners. I'm your guy. Anyway. So do you remember in Parent Trap where she says, you can take me or them. And she says, me or them. And it's like, if I were coming out as non-binary, that's how I would. And it's like, why is no one using this? And it just occurred to me right now. And then he says, them. And she says, what? And he says, them. And it's like, if you're coming out, that's how you come out.
People are having that exact conversation right now.
Pull out the archive. Get Dennis Quaid, who is a Republican but had an eating disorder. I don't know. So like, back up on your screens.
That is a binary.
Yeah. You know what? And I'll say this. I think a lot of Republicans have eating disorders.
That's true. If you're my boys club actually is, it's National Eating Disorder Awareness Week.
Oh my God.
No one said anything to me all week.
Wait, you know what's the craziest thing about that? So, National Eating Disorder Awareness, NEDA.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Maddie has a shirt that says "Need a Walk" on it. I'm like, really? The eating disorder awareness thing says "Need a Walk."
Girl, you like, need a walk.
Did they like seriously? Like nobody read that ahead of time and was like, maybe it shouldn't say "Need a Walk."
That
on
really
it.
Is giving country over party.
Yeah. It's like you're feeling bad about your body. How about you need a walk? Like, come on, that's terrible. Okay, wait. I had something else I was gonna say about androids. I feel. I was such a late bloomer to the. I was very excited when I finally got an iPhone because my parents wouldn't let me get one until I was like 16. I think was like my birthday when I turned 16. I got an iPhone. So until then, I was rocking with the flip phone for like a long time in high school. I just can't imagine. I can't imagine having that type of, I don't know, the phones that we have now in high school. I feel like that would have been.
I have no memory of, because I had an iPod, of course, and it had, well, my first introduction to music was that my dad had an iPod and he let me put 20 songs on it. So I put like Soak Up the Sun and I put My Heart Will Go On and.
And they said, our straight son.
I have to figure out what that playlist was because it was like, obviously it was an amazing playlist. And it was Enya Only Time was on it.
Of course.
Who can say when the road goes?
We should get this was good. The three of us. Come on, somebody sign us. That was like that song. My friends and I did like a dance to that at a sleepover. That was like one of
I
it
love
was
that
so
song.
Funny. That was like one of the somebody had a camera on like one of their like an Envy or something. Some one yeah. of them had like a bat, mm-hmm. you know, those shit cameras that were on those old phones, and we filmed us doing like a dance to Only Time.
And we laugh now, but when you're sat on the subway at like 11 p.m. you put it on, it'll kind of take you somewhere. Yeah. It's an interesting song.
It is good. Yeah, I think I actually have this playlist. It's called Songs Your Mom Would Like.
Love. That's true.
I also forgot about you being trans for a second, so I just imagined like a bunch of 12-year-old boys dancing to Enya.
No.
Choreographed.
Fully me and the girlies doing our dance at the sleepover. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess at the boys' sleepovers, they were like playing Call of Duty and other shit like that. Watching
That's
porn.
Not what we were doing. We were jerking off. What
really? Talk-
sometimes, randomly.
Together?
Randomly. No. Maybe no. God, this
Teach us.
Teach us your ways.
Teach us your ways.
We not like jerking off, but like there would always be like this one, never mind. Like there was someone, guys always love to get naked. There's always like one guy who like needed to be an exhibitionist.
I remember
from
that.
From the wrestling
I
team.
I remember hearing that in middle school. Like I remember that being the lore about boys' sleepovers, that there was some sort of like, jerking off sexual porn element to it.
Yeah.
That was not happening at the girl sleepover. So again, we were making dances and like, doing that. So
mm-hmm. Grow up.
We were watching Miss Congeniality and eating Domino's pizza.
Exactly. Yeah.
Those are the days.
Damn. Well, Micah, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. This has been such a lovely time. Do you want to, before we run, tell people where they can find you online or what you got coming up?
Yeah, you can find me on TikTok and Instagram, Micah Ames. Should I spell it or no?
Yeah, we'll tag it in the, in the
amazing,
show and everything.
Incredible. Find me on social and come see me at a show around Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Micah's hilarious. Go check him out. And we'll be back next week with another episode. And until then, we love you guys. Bye.